Good morning, and thank you for standing by. This is the conference coordinator. I would like to remind all parties that this call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Fekuwiz PDP Working Group call on Tuesday, 29 January. On the call today, we have Mark Anderson, Roy Baliste, Ilya Baslyankov, Don Blumenthal, Alan Greenberg, Volker Gremann, Carolyn Hoover, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Steve Metelitz, Jeff Newman, Mikey O'Connor, Jill Titzer, and Jonathan Zook. From staff, we have Marika Conyngs, Barry Cobb, and myself, Julia Charvolin. We have apologies from Susan Prosser. May I remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thanks, Julia, and welcome all. We can do an over-under bet on how many minutes my voice lasts on this call. So far, I've gotten a minute in, and I'm okay. First agenda item is just to take a pause and take a look at the agenda, and also if anybody has any changes to their statement of interest.
Thank you.
This would be a good time to mention it. Okay, I don't hear any objections to the agenda or statements of interest, so off we go. Marika has mentioned that Wilson also has apologies, and Volker's on the call. Really only two big things to do today. All of you received copies of the comments tool prepared by Marika and Barry. Fabulous job, 42 pages long. I thought we'd go through the whole thing today, page by page. I figure that's a minute per page with 10 minutes left over for comments. That was a joke. That's as good a joke as you're going to get out of this guy today. I have a terrible cold. So the first part of this is to just check in with the subteams, and let me remind you all as to sort of where we left this. What we said 2 weeks ago was, let's wait and see what comes in the comments before really putting a lot of pressure on the subteams. And as a result, we canceled last week's call, and now here we are. I'm not really expecting a whole lot of activity to be reported by the subteams, but I thought this might be a good chance for people to talk a little bit about what they might want to work on during this week. We've had a little bit of commentary on the email list, which I think is a good lead-in to all that. And so with that, I think what I'd like to do is just walk through the three folks who are leading subgroups. Let's see, is Susan on the call? Can't tell. Hold on. Yes, Susan Kawaguchi's not on the call. We'll see if she joins. But Steve and Alan, given the comments that have come in and the beginning of the commentary on the list, would it be useful for the two of you to have a conversation like that, or would you rather just go off with your respective groups and sort of give it a try on your own? Either way is fine with me, but I offer you that choice. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it's Alan.
Alan, go ahead.
Okay. As I said on the subteam list, and Mikey, you saw it, some of the others didn't, I'm a little bit at a loss to know how to proceed. I mean, I know conceptually how. We're stuck with a variety of inputs, which in general, some of them are consistent, and some very crucial ones are diametrically opposed to each other. And I'm not sure it's within the unless we can get some clarifying information, which I've asked for on the general list now, and some of you may have seen my notice, my note, and some of the replies that are coming back to it. I think we need to get, I'll be blunt, we need to get the discussion on privacy issues and the dangers of moving to thick who is with regard to individuals out of the realm of FUD, of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and into the realm of, you know, real case studies or real examples, not just the vague, well, you know, horrible things can happen. I can't tell you exactly what they are, but horrible things are going to happen. I think we need to get more fact-based, or at least more based on scenarios that we can understand. Otherwise, we're going to end up, you know, having a stalemate. And it's an important stalemate because, you know, it says this is going to be disastrous for users. And I think we have to factor that in, given that we're talking about TLDs which have a few users on them. So,
yeah, that's...
I'm happy to have the subteam manage the process, but as long as we have very different positions, I don't think the subteam can resolve the process. But I'm hoping we'll get more input, so that'll be an easier job to do. That's where I stand, I think. And anyone else on the subteam wants to speak, then...
Let me chime in, and then I'll go to Jeff, who's in the queue. I think what I was trying to get through in my sort of lame note this morning was that clearly that's a hard puzzle. And I like the word puzzle because it's neutral. And at least in my experience, the way to tackle hard puzzles is to break them into smaller bits, so that they're not quite so overwhelming. And I am a little worried that I'm a hammer looking for a nail, but I'm going to offer this anyway. In the DSSA, we've come up with a fairly interesting risk analysis methodology, which might apply in this case. I'm not sure. And so... one of the things that I would offer to the subteam as something to think about is what the puzzles are, and Alan, you've named one for sure. We may have others. And what methods we might use to work through them. And risk analysis might be one. There are others available as well, and I think this is a good chance to, before we actually tackle these puzzles, stand back from them and say, well, what's the best way to attack the puzzle? And so that's what I was trying to get across in the note that I sent this morning. And it turns out that risk analysis is a good way to do it. We could certainly dive into that a bit next week, because what the risk analysis stuff does is it sort of breaks this into smaller bits so that it's not quite so overwhelming to get through. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, so I got to completely agree with Alan, and I don't think this is a really big issue. I think the problem is we're thinking of things in more the macro level. We've got to really narrow down on the focus. This who is PDP is not about whether who is in general or thick who is violates privacy or creates stability concerns. The question is whether the transition from thin to thick creates any privacy or security stability concerns above and beyond that, which would ordinarily be in who is in general. And I think the problem is, and what I saw in the comments, is there's no distinguishing between the two. That those that are worried about thick who is from the NCUC and the NPOC are talking about who is in general and providing all this data in general, as opposed to the very narrow question of whether the transition from thin to thick creates any new issues that would not otherwise be involved in who is in general. And this is something I said on the council level, which I was really afraid of this PDP getting into. For those of you who know, I was not in favor of this PDP at all because I thought it was focused only on one registry. I didn't think it was necessary. I thought we could easily do it, and I was hoping that that one registry would voluntarily do it. Obviously, it didn't happen, so we're doing this PDP, but I think it's very, very, very important that we focus on the transition element as opposed to who is in general. And if we do that, the puzzle, as Mikey says, is a lot smaller than the overall 10 million piece puzzle that is who is in general. And I think we can do that. That's my comment number one. Comment number two is that we really need to engage in fact-based decision-making. I said that was the word of the day. There are a lot of, you know, what-ifs, or I could hypothetically see this problem, or I could hypothetically see that problem. But we've been doing this, .biz, .us, .info, .org, .pro, .name, .tel, .travel, .xxx, .post, all of these entities have been doing Think Who Is for, well, biz and info over a decade. We need facts. We cannot make decisions based on what people are afraid of. And there's, yeah, so that's number two. And I saw a lot of that in the comments. So that's it. Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, Jeff. And I think your comment came in two pieces, so let me comment on both of those pieces. I think your first piece is right in line with my idea of defining a puzzle carefully. And, you know, I think that's another one for us to work on is in risk analysis, it turns out that you have to define the scenarios pretty carefully. And there are some pretty good tools to do that. And at the end of the day, we may come up with four or five different scenarios that need to be analyzed. And defining those scenarios well and carefully, I think, is going to be important for us to do. And your point is right on that one. And then clearly, in terms of basing this on facts, the one exception I would take to that, Jeff, is that in some cases, engineers come up with scenarios that have never happened but could happen. And they analyze them anyway, even though they have never happened before. That doesn't necessarily rule them out as scenarios to be evaluated. It may mean that their probability is very low, and I think you mentioned that in your note. But I think it's okay to evaluate the scenarios, even if they're unlikely. Just to make sure that we've covered all the bases. Because that way, when people come back to us and ask us about it, we can say, yes, we did look at that, and here's the analysis we made, and this is the reason that we evaluated it the way we did. So I think I'm agreeing with you. Ooh, I've built up quite the queue. Steve, you're next. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I agree with what Alan's postings and with the first Jeff's point, especially on the first point. And I think it's worth noting that if we say that some of the issues that are being raised aren't appropriate for this working group, that with our micro focus on transition to Think Who Is, it's important to recognize that there is going to be a place to raise some of those broader issues, and that is in the PDP that the board is going to initiate, according to the board resolution, later this year on overall Who Is policy, if you will. So, and I mean, there are other fora for this, is what I'm trying to say. So, to the extent that we are able to maintain our focus on the micro issue that we've been asked to look at, it's not to discount or to sideline those other issues. It just means that they're going to be discussed in a different forum. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And my notes always, this is a topic that came up when we were doing the drafting team as well. We have to always be careful to pay attention to scope. At the same time, when Alan talked about the transition who that coup is, and the possibility that there are risks in that, I think that that's fair game. But at the same time, for sure, we don't want to solve problems and puzzles that are going to be addressed by others in other fora. Armor, go ahead. Oh, Armor, did you intend to lower your hand? Or?
No, sorry about that. No, I didn't. Thanks for letting me speak. Well, in the interest of staying focused on scope, I'm a bit confused right now because according to the scope in our charter, the working group charter, we're supposed to make a recommendation based on the use of thick who is, not the transition. And if we're talking about a transition, then why are we addressing both existing and future GTLD registries? I'm assuming that if we're talking about a transition, then future GTLD registries are going to be using thick who is to begin with. There will be no transition, will there? Does my question make any sense?
It's a fair question. I'm a little foggy on our charter there, and I don't have it in front of me. When we were doing the charter, we were...
Mikey, this is Steve Patas. Could I try to respond to that?
Absolutely. And for any and all, I am not at my best today, so if I start to fade out like that, just go ahead and jump in. Go ahead, Steve. Thanks.
Thanks. Amar, I think the status quo is that all the three GTLDs are thick. All of the up to 1,000 or so new GTLDs will be thick. But the issue now is should the three thin ones be required to move to thick? And, yes, in the future, in the next round, should it continue to be thick. So I think you're right. It's a little bit of an oversimplification to say transition because we are being asked to set policy or recommend policy for the future. But I think the point is just, as I think Jeff put it, are there risks associated with thick who is that would not exist in the thin who is environment with respect to privacy? So, and based on the experience that all the registries that have been thick have had, that's obviously a significant factor. I don't know if that answers your question.
I think so. If I'm understanding you correctly, then we are actually talking about use of thick who is, not a transition to thick who is. Therefore, any concerns we might have on the use of thick who is as opposed to transition are relevant to this discussion, right?
Yeah, I think if all registries were thick who is, what would be the issues?
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Steve.
All
GTLD registries, I should say.
Right. Now, just to be careful, one of the things we talked about in the drafting team was a point that Jeff raised in the drafting team, which was if we decide not to recommend a transition for .com, et cetera, to thick, should we evaluate the option of all the other registries going to thin? Jeff raised that and didn't get much traction. And so I want to be careful that we are not evaluating the value of thick who is for all registries. Now, it's true that we will evaluate the use of thick who is in the registries that are transitioning to it if we recommend it, but it's outside our scope to evaluate the use of thick who is elsewhere, because that is a very deep pit into which we would probably never climb out. Alan, is your hand left up from before, or is it a new one?
No, that's a brand new one.
Brand new.
It's been creeping up at the bottom of the list, waiting to speak.
Okay.
Alan, sorry, this is Amar again. Before we move on, Mikey, would you mind if I just read the first paragraph in the mission scope in our charter?
Sure, go ahead.
The PDP working group is tasked to provide the GNSO Council with a policy recommendation regarding the use of FIC WHO IS by all industries, both existing and future. As part of its deliberations on this issue, the PDP working group should, at a minimum, consider the following elements as detailed in the final issue report, and then it moves on to the different topics we've been discussing. Thanks. Sorry, Alan.
That's okay. That's good. I'm glad that's on the table. It will fit in well with one of the things I'm going to say. I've accumulated a bunch of comments, so I'll make them all quickly. Regarding fact-based decision-making, Mikey, the wording notwithstanding, I would believe this includes reasonable scenarios that haven't happened yet. I think it has to. We are talking about the largest GTLDs, which are not comparable to anything else around, and I think we have to use our imagination, but it's got to be something which has some, you know, realm of possibility. So, yes, risk analysis needs to be done, but we need to have real scenarios to analyze, not just fears. Whether this is a transition, certainly if we recommend FIC WHO IS for all, there is a transition and we must address the transition. So the transition is something we need to address and make sure that there are viable paths to get through it if we're going to recommend FIC for all. Based on that intro into the charter, it is conceivable that we could say FIC WHO IS not a good thing for all, and a recommendation out of that could be FIN for all. I'll give you a very personal comment on that. Given the 10 years of history of every new GTLD that has come out, ICANN has required it to be FIC, including the 1,000-plus that are now on the books, that will be on the books with the new GTLD process. I cannot imagine a recommendation from a PDP that will more easily and readily be overruled by the board than saying, move everything back to FIN now. The boards have consistently recommended FIC over a number of years, and I just cannot see that changing, and I have better things to do with my life than to spend weeks and weeks and months making recommendations that are then going to be ignored. And yes, that's a pragmatic reality, but I decide how to spend my life reasonably, I think. So I think that's something to keep in mind. You know, we can tilt that windmill, but let's be practical people. So I think we need to focus on, you know, not conceptually what we could recommend, but what is reasonable to recommend at this point, and what drove this PDP into existence. Thank you.
You know, that gets me to another point. I think it's perfectly okay to, and in fact, better than perfectly okay, I think it's very important that we get all the scenarios out on the table and evaluate them. And even if they're a little bit improbable, and maybe even extremely improbable, I think it's still fine to evaluate them and also come up with strategies as to how to mitigate those risks. So I think we need concrete examples of the scenarios. I think we need to break that puzzle into the bits that it needs to be broken into to do a good job of evaluating them. And then to the extent that there is a risk of some sort, even if it's very small, I think we also need to come up with ways that those risks could be mitigated. Now, in the security realm, there are choices. Sometimes you take actions to mitigate a risk. You know, if I use weather examples, let's use the tsunami in Japan. One way to mitigate a risk is to build your data center a little bit higher than the floodplain of the tsunami. Another is to accept the risk and just say, look, this risk is so small that we're simply not going to do anything about it. Another is to insure against the risk, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think in addition to doing a good job of analyzing these risks, we also need to come up with ideas on how to mitigate them. And, you know, that may be a way to noodle our way through these puzzles. But I think it's critical that we come up with good scenarios. Now, I am a little worried that all of this risk analysis talk, which I introduced in the email thread and then on this call, has sort of pre-selected our analysis technique. And I just want to step back from that and say that risk analysis is one of many ways to analyze these puzzles. And many of you seem to agree that this might be a useful one, and so I will take an action to try and pull together some material for next week's call that steps us through the methodology that we built in the DSSA. I think we're going to have to modify it a little bit, but since I was pretty involved in building it, it's pretty easy for me to modify it. But I want the rest of you to think about the way that you analyze puzzles in whichever discipline you come from. So if you're a lawyer, you know, what analytical tools do you use when you analyze puzzles? And if you're an engineer, what do you use? And let's pick this topic up again on the next week's call with that in mind. Because while I like risk analysis a lot, and I think it may be a very powerful tool, I'm not sure it's the only tool that's available to us, and I would hate to limit our discussion to that one tool. Let's see. I'm just going to catch up on the chat because I realize that I haven't been paying attention to it. Hold on a minute. Okay, so Don is raising the issue of beware of VeriSign-centric analysis, and that's a point that's well taken from the chartering group as well, is that this is a broader discussion than just VeriSign. There seems to be an agreement there. But Alan is raising the point that there is an elephant in the room. I mean, that's the biggest one that we have to deal with, and so we need to acknowledge it. Roy is acknowledging that, and so, and Amr is agreeing with Alan that if we are to recommend a VeriSign transition, we do need to take a close look at it, et cetera. Steve, you're in the queue. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I mean, I know we've had this discussion that Alan kicked off about his sub-team. I guess my first point is I obviously haven't been privy to all the postings on the sub-team. I've seen the few postings that have gone in the last day or so to the full list, and I hope that discussion will continue because I think Alan raised some good points and Amr and others responded, and, you know, it may be that sub-team could come to agreement on what to say on this, again, on the topic we've been asked to deal with as opposed to the broader topic. So that was my first point, but I take Alan at his word that he, based on the sub-team discussions, he isn't sure how to move it forward, but just saying from the standpoint of the full list discussions, it seemed like maybe it needs a little more time to play out. The second point I wanted to make is since I'm the head of the coordinating the authoritativeness team, we really have not been active, sub-team, I should say. we've not been active. Now, I want to, I guess I have a question. Are we sure we have all of the, I think we have all of the stakeholder group, constituency, et cetera, statements that we're going to get. I was frankly surprised to see the VeriSign statement. I didn't know whether that meant we were now going out and asking individual companies and organizations to comment. But then I saw a BIR statement that referred, I guess that the registry, the stakeholder group couldn't come to agreement on a statement, and therefore, is that why there are two from VeriSign and PIR, and should we be expecting any others, or do we have the full set now?
It's a great question, and I saw Marika's hand go up in the middle of it. So, Marika, is that what you were going to talk about?
I'm with the registry. Yeah, if I can answer that question, I'll reach out to Marika, but I can answer that specific question.
Yeah, hang on a minute, Jeff. Let Marika get through her bit, and then we'll jump to you.
Yeah, it isn't, Rick. I'll let Jeff address the registry stakeholder group statement, but I just wanted to mention that I know that the registrars are actually preparing a statement as well, and they hope to get that to the working group later this week.
Ah, that's right. We are missing the registrar one as well. Jeff, do you want to jump in on the registries?
Yeah, I think you're right. We were a little late to the game. VeriSign had submitted its statement to the registry stakeholder group for approval, and that was not approved. In fact, many of the registries, and you'll see PIR, filed one, you know, was diametrically opposed to the VeriSign one. NewStar actually supports the PIR statement, and I may submit some additional information. But I was hoping also that our participation on this group would be I'm always a little confused about statements made in writing beforehand versus statements made actually in the group. So I didn't know whether it was necessary for me or for NewStar to file a separate statement, but I'm certainly contributing to the discussion. So maybe that could be cleared up. But I will tell you, Steve, you're right. The registries could not come to a unified position. You'll see the diametric differences between PIR and VeriSign, and that's where the split was.
Thanks, Jeff. And, you know, some of this may be my fault because unlike the, you know, this is sort of an unofficial round of commentary in a way. And so I've been a little lax in enforcing rigidly that these come from constituencies. My view is that the more commentary, the better at this stage of the game, because back to Steve's question, it seems to me the more we can assemble for either the sub-teams or the rest of us to review earlier in the game, the better. So I'd like to continue that, but I will throw this back to you, the group, whether you'd prefer to have me sort of draw the line in the sand and say, no, just constituency statements or continue on in your haphazard way. Anybody have any particular strong feelings one way or the other on that? Steve, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do... I get it. That what I understand what happened now in the registry group, and that's fine. I think it's good to have those two views. But our sub-team probably should look at everything that's come in and see if we can come to a overall conclusion or recommendation. There are different views about authoritativeness, which is our subgroup's topic, but you know, we need to start discussing them. And if we might get something else next week from the registrars and then some other company might decide to weigh in, I just think it's kind of disruptive to the process. So if we can indicate that once we get this registrar comment, we're done for this phase. There's going to be multiple other opportunities for both the constituency stakeholder groups and individual companies, organizations, people to weigh in. But we just need to kind of know this is what we're looking at. This is what we've been asked to digest. And otherwise, we could be sitting here a month from now saying, well, I hear somebody else might have a comment. We'll wait on that.
Yeah.
That would be my approach. And I'd like to get I accept that the authoritativeness one. We had a couple of comments, and it's really kind of petered out. So we need to get it back on track, but I think it would help to say this is the corpus of comments we need to look at and try to see if we agree or disagree. Thank you.
Volker, are you on the call? Is Volker on the call? Can you tell us where the registrars are at? Are we pretty sure that we're going to see something this week?
We are currently in the process of drafting something, so we have a task group that's putting something together, but it hasn't been discussed at length yet. So we're way behind. Sorry for that.
Well, that's all right. But, you know, I think Steve raises a good point, and that is that it's tough on sub-teams to have sort of an ongoing rolling carpet of comments coming at them. Do you think it's, Volker, do you think it's reasonable to set an expectation at the end of the week, or is that an unreasonable expectation?
I would have to get back in touch with the people, but I don't think that we'll have something agreed upon by all registrars by the end of the week, probably end of next week, rather than that. Yeah, end of next week is more realistic, I think.
Okay. Steve, what does that do for you?
Well, I'd like to, you know, Walker's on our sub-team, so we certainly have a registrar perspective, and he's been, and I think he's helped really help move things forward. I just, if we want to wait till the end of next week, then okay, but it's just going to delay the process further. If we think it will come in by the 8th, I guess that's, is that what the end of next week is? Then we'll go from there.
And Volker, is there a way that you could maybe come up with a preliminary draft that could get fed into the process, and then, you know, if it turns out it's just impossible to get it approved?
If I can get something done, yes. I'm not on the drafting team myself. I wanted to keep out of that, so I have a more neutral view. But, I can see. I will reach out to the others and try to get their preliminary draft out as soon as possible.
I think that would be really helpful for all of us, but especially to the three sub-teams that are sort of at the front of the queue here. As you know, it is, Steve raises an incredibly important point, which is that it's awfully tough to get going without all of those perspectives in. So if you could try and get something in, that would be fantastic, Volker. Thanks. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to address the first part of the question, which is should individual submissions be taken? I think in every public comment period that we've had, yes, we've always allowed individual submissions, and I think that should be honored in this one. I think you may not get a unified viewpoint from all constituencies as you, or stakeholder groups that you see from the registries. So I think that should be encouraged. I do think we should set a cutoff date for external comments, but again, I want to stress that is not the substitute for other viewpoints that may be expressed by members of the review team or the sub-teams as well. So, like I said, you started to submit a written statement, although after this discussion we might. But I'm carrying with me NUSTAR's viewpoints and some other registry viewpoints that I'm expressing during the sub-team meeting. So I don't want that to get lost in there. And guys, I'm sorry, I have to drop off. But thank you very much.
Thanks for joining, Jeff. And Marika reminded me that the working group can essentially accept any kind of input that it wants. And what I'm hearing is that we're interested in kind of pursuing my haphazard any and all approach, because I really think the broader the input we get at the beginning, the better. The more points of view we can get incorporated into the analysis, and the sooner we can get those points of view into the analysis, the better we'll do. So I think we'll continue in that mode. Anything else? I was sort of expecting that this might happen, that the first agenda item, the sub-teams, would really blend into a broader discussion. one approach that we could take is, well, there are several approaches. One is to continue on the way we are and essentially say, look, let's let the three sub-teams dig into the material that's been assembled already. There's quite a lot for each subgroup to work on. Another approach would be to pick a fourth topic that we take on as a work group of the whole. And I think at this stage of the game, I'd like to spend next week's call on the risk analysis discussion. I think that's a tool that everybody may find useful. And also have a conversation about other analytical tools that we might be able to bring to bear and then take up that conversational thing. And so what I'm getting around to is to say that maybe we wait on the constituency statements received agenda item for a bit, partly because they're still coming in and partly because I'm not sure that I know the answer on the whether we should take up a fourth topic as a group yet. And where that's getting me is to maybe cut the call off a little bit short today again, partly because my voice is going to fail, but partly because I don't think it's a real good use of our time. Alan, Steve, do you feel like you've got enough to work with over this week if we did that? Or is there something we can do this remaining 15 minutes that would help you as you work forward with your sub-teams?
This is Steve. I'm going to have to drop off the call right now anyway, so I think I'm fine. We'll work with what we've got, and we'll hope to get more from the registrars shortly. Thank
you. Yeah, that sounds great. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think my sub-team and this working group is going to need more specificity from the three submitters who have said there are significant problems and risks in the transition. And those are the inputs from VeriSign, NCUC, and NPOC. Because, as I said in my note, maybe my imagination is not good enough, but I can't come up with those scenarios. We need the people who are warning us about the risks to give us some more, I won't say facts, but give us more scenarios, examples of the kinds of risks and kinds of problems that can happen. I don't want to say I wanted to, otherwise I have to discount the input, but I don't see how I can use it if I can't map it into real problems that I can describe and analyze.
I think that's where the risk analysis tool will help. I think it will help the people who are concerned about the risk sharpen their statement of what that risk is, and I think it will also help those of us who are analyzing the risks sharpen our understanding of the impacts and probabilities of those risks. So I offer that to the folks who are in NCUC, NPOC, and VeriSign as a helpful tool for you as well as the sub-teams. And I will definitely do some work over the week and probably try and push something out to the list that sort of summarizes what I'm talking about. There's if you want a preview of all this, go and dig into the DSSA Phase 1 report, and you'll pretty quickly come across the methodology that we built. And what I'll try and do is thin that out a bit because it's a pretty massive document, and come back with a tool that we might be able to use next week. Okay. Let's see, I got to catch up on the chat here. Uh, a lot of transition concerns will depend on the transition process. The situation was different in many ways, but when do we engage our experts group? Ah, that was from Don Blumenthal in the chat. And that's another point that I meant to make on today's call, which is I think another resource and another analytical approach is to not forget that we have this experts group and pose these questions, you know, frame these scenarios and then pose some questions out of those scenarios to the expert group and get their reaction as well. And I think that they could help us a lot with a couple of areas. They can help us with assessing impact. They can help us with assessing probability. And they could also help us with assessing mitigation approaches. So, again, I'm still feeling pretty comfortable about risk assessment as a good tool here. But, yes, absolutely right, Don. That's a huge resource that we don't want to neglect. Alan, is that a new hand or an old one?
No, sorry, that's an old hand.
Okay. Well, unless anybody else has got anything else that they really want to contribute, I think I'm going to do you all a favor and end this call so that you don't have to listen to my voice completely leave me. And we'll pick it up again next week. I think this is going to have a whole bunch of really interesting puzzles to solve. I bet we solve them. And I'm delighted with how things are going. Thanks, all. See you in a week. Julia, do you want to end the recording?